Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, feasting we heard about today, didn't we? And especially a wedding feast. It's the way that the Bible speaks of God's way of giving salvation away. Wedding feasts, yes, that's how he speaks of it. It's the way that God illustrates what he does and gives for the salvation of his sinners. In the Old Testament reading, we heard Isaiah proclaim such feasting. He promised a feast that saves, the feast of salvation that takes place on a mountain that will swallow up death forever. Jesus did too in the parable today. And our Lord's parable of the divine invitation to the wedding feast that puts death to death is full of unexpected twists and turns. It comes, the parable that is, it comes with heavy weight, salvationly serious warnings like this one. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Jesus does not joke. His kingdom of heaven is very serious. And so he preaches a feast and feasting. Feast and feasting. Do you get it? I'm not sure that you do. After all, the food police forbid feasting. They've put the kibosh on it. They ban feasting. Try to have a feast, whether it's on Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whatever occasion, and the food police give stern warnings of all kinds of incredible health risks. They issue gluttony tickets and hand out big monetary fines in order to protect the homeland from the unforgivable sin of feasting. In addition, all you know are what? Microwavable mac and cheese meals, drive-through Big Macs and Whoppers, on-the-run gas station donuts and hot dogs, convenience store sushi, diet pop, light beer, you're always counting your carbs, Marie Osmond Nutrisystem, LA Weight Loss. Food is demanded in 60 seconds or less. Church has to be 60 minutes or less. And now, I don't know if you know about this, but now you can even go online. I don't recommend this, by the way. But now you can even go online and you can get communion to-go packages, hermeneutically sealed for your safety, grape juice and wafers. Imagine that. Self-serve communion now as you hectically run to another ball game, practice, or like me, the golf course, or maybe the cornfield. No wonder then that we're all clueless and puzzled and deeply offended when we hear the prophet Isaiah invite us all to a sit down and a get comfortable feast of rich food. A banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. Or when the king invites you to enjoy the never-ending blowout wedding banquet for his son that includes platter after platter of the reddest meat with all of its fat included. So I'd better repeat what I said at the beginning. Feasting, especially wedding feasts, is one of the ways that the Bible illustrates and proclaims salvation. A way that God illustrates what he does for the salvation of sinners. And so, brothers and sisters, when he invites you to a feast, he's calling you to salvation. All is ready, the king said. All is done for your salvation. And so then Jesus speaks of a king, that's God the Father, who loves to be a gracious host, who loves to serve sinners with his lavish love. And so he spares no expense to throw the party of salvation, spoken of as the wedding feast, for his son's wedding day. The finest of marbled meats, rare and vintage wines. Isaiah speaks of it this way in the old King James language, a feast of fat things, full of marrow, with wine on the lees. Well refined. You remember that from the old King James? Or to put it in Nebraska words, premium prime rib with all the trimmings washed down with a great Bordeaux, better than anything Round the Bin could ever serve. Now, don't misunderstand. I love going there. But again, the invitation to the wedding feast is the divine summons for Israel, for the world, and for you to be given the Good Friday, Mount Calvary feast of salvation that Jesus, God's Son, has achieved. And no expense has been spared, and attendance is totally free. Just come and enjoy. Be totally given to, served by the Lord himself, a feast that is death's antidote. Swallows up death forever, Isaiah said. It is the feast of immortality. Now, who in the world would ever refuse the feast of salvation? Who would dare to impolitely and audaciously say no to eating and drinking in the presence of such a magnificent giver, God King, and his Savior of sinners, Son? Incredibly, in the parable, the first ones invited do. The first ones invited to the feast of red meat and the fat of salvation, the text says, they refused. They flat out snubbed their nose and said, no. And just as inconceivably, what does God the King do then? He sends out more invitations through more of his servants. Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. In other words, my son has won your salvation. Come, enjoy. Be given to. But the more graciously that the king invites, the more stubbornly those invited refuse. Isn't this incredible? The invited totally blow off the gracious invitation of salvation. One, the text says, is too piously and religiously preoccupied with the cares and concerns of life to even care about the party of eternal salvation that is all prepared and stares him in the face. The field needs cultivating, the crops have to be planted and harvested, chores have to be done. And then another, the text says, has business to conduct. Money has to be made. Got to work, you know. Good grief, Your Majesty. Do you actually expect us to ask the boss for time off to actually come to the salvation party? I mean, really, Your Majesty, you ask way too much of us. Others that were invited weren't so Nebraska nice. They got absolutely and mobsterly nasty and vicious. Why? Because the king's servants annoyed them with the merciful invitation to come. And so what did they do? They execute the king's servants in cold blood. How about you? All is ready. Now, salvation is Good Fridayly accomplished, even for you. You are the ones who are loitering on the street corners. You are the good and the bad that the king has invited to his son's wedding banquet. So would you dare, like Israel of Jesus' day, to say no to God's full of fatty grams and cholesterol wedding feast of salvation? Would you be so audacious to tell the Lord that you have no interest in coming to the wedding feast, giving the king and his son the middle finger? As if you have more important things to do than receive the chock-full, fatty, and cholesterol-feasting food of our Lord's wedding feast? I beg you, don't go there. Don't use the normal stuff of life to sinisterly reject Jesus and his wedding feast. There are eternal consequences for abstaining and perpetually dieting. And so I must warn you as your pastor, consider God's call to feast as no biggie, as no big deal, and therefore blow off or reject the salvation that Jesus won for you, and it will end hellaciously with divine damnation. Listen to what Jesus has to say about that. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. In addition, and this was the end of the parable, don't dare show up at the wedding feast on your own terms, as if you're in charge and not being given to, wearing the filthy rags of your own righteousness, as if you can somehow earn the feast like you deserve it. If you insist on that, you'll get bounced right out into the hellish darkness where there are weeping ones and gnashing of teeth ones forever. Now, brothers and sisters, it is the Lord that gives out the wedding garments to his guests. And the proper wedding apparel consists only of the divine, blood-stained victory robe of his son's Good Friday sacrifice for sinners. Robes that are washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Sinners covered in the perfection and holiness of his son. Jesus is the wedding garment of salvation. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus died on the cross, he was made to be sin for you. And he left no one out of his atoning death. Only Israel's, or your own indifference to that divine death, only your stubborn refusal to be fed or to feast, only your own hard-hearted rejection of God's gifts leaves you out of the Good Friday wedding banquet of salvation. God's will, as we heard in the parable, is to fill his banquet hall with guests. If the invited guests end up weeping and gnashing their teeth in everlasting hell, it's entirely against God's will, who wants to save them. God wants to throw a party, and he's invited Israel, the world, and you. The king invites all, but only broken-hearted beggars take him up on the invitation to be clothed and fed by Jesus. Many are called, Jesus says, but few are chosen. This isn't an explanation, it's just simply an observation from Jesus. In other words, all are invited, but it just seems that few end up at the table. Why is that? Again, I repeat, it's not the king's fault. It's because sinners refuse to feast, to be fed, to be given to. If you miss out on the party and go hungry, you have only yourself to blame. So, brothers and sisters, here we are today. Jesus died for you. He rose for you. He lords his Good Friday reign of forgiveness over you. He clothes you with garments of salvation that belong to him. He feeds you with his death-swallowing and death-defying body and blood at his supper today. The banquet hall is here. And you, I tell you, are you listening? You are the honored guests. So it's time to feast. And happy feasting. In the name of Jesus. Amen.